It's time to read the Bible together now, and we're going to look at four small sections, two from 1 John and two from Ephesians. So the first is 1 John 1, 1 to 4, and is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Then chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Now moving over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And finally, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
As I said earlier, it's great to be here with you today, and I'm aware that you have a time limit on your services because you have another service coming up shortly. And this evening, I want to encourage you all to come back here at 6 o'clock to hear Tim Blenko. He's a wonderful Bible teacher, and we're blessed to have him at Pacific Hills on a regular basis for our staff devotions, as we have Ian as well. And we're greatly blessed with each of them and many others. The verses that were read by Evan are really powerful verses to me. I mentioned in the interview time about the mission work that we do, and I want to explain to you, as my brothers and sisters in the common Christian faith, why we do mission through a school. I want to challenge you today. It is my view that when we go to church, we should not leave exactly the same as when we arrived. We need to have a renewed, a refreshed commitment or a new commitment. We need to be challenged in our thinking and our practice. So the two verses which we have used extensively in our school to promote the motivation for mission are in 1 Peter chapter 4, and they are verses 10 and 11, and they say this. Each one should use whatever gift received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now that is a really powerful verse, a verse from which we could spend a whole year preaching. Each one excludes nobody, so you're included. We are to use the gifts given to us by God Now those are the gifts not only of singing or of teaching, of work with the hands that we've been given, with the minds we've been given, but it is also the gift of time, the gift of resources, of opportunities, the gift of relationships and all of those gifts that God has given to us, because in the end, God has given us all things. And I want to go back to that thought in just a moment, but to conclude that verse briefly, we are to use our gifts to serve others. That means wherever God places us, to serve the people there, whether they are children, elderly people, or anyone in between, whether they are highly gifted and accomplished persons, or whether they are people who are vulnerable and weak. We are to use our gifts to serve others, to faithfully administer God's grace in its various forms. I can't get over this thought. It goes back to the other verses that Evan has read with us today. You and I, as Christian believers, are called to faithfully administer God's grace. We have become, as the verses already read tell us, we have become the recipients of God's grace. For it is by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. It's not by works, or we'd be boastful about it. So you and I are the recipients of the grace of God. Who is God? The Lord God Almighty, creator and sustainer of all things. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. He's our King. And he's our Judge. And so we have this extraordinary call to administer his grace to others. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to be God's representative in the place where he puts us at any point in our lives, whether it's for a few minutes of time or a generation of life. And so I want to encourage you that you are to administer God's grace through your everyday ordinary life and wherever God takes you. And we are to do so in its various forms or various ways. So God allows us and acknowledges, because he's the giver, that each of us has been apportioned gifts according to his choosing. The gifts we have received are by God's giving to us. They're his grace gift to us. And so we are called to faithfully minister his grace in various and different ways. So that is not a suggestion, by the way, in the Bible, that verse. It is actually a command. The command is this, that we are to use the gifts, therefore we acknowledge they're from God, to serve others, to faithfully administer, to live out the grace of God to others. That's our calling. So it's my belief that a Christian family, a local Christian church, and in my case, a local Christian school, that we are commanded by God to show his grace to others as an act of worship. It is not to do things to be nice to people. It is actually to worship God. Now, God is the great and awesome one, creator, sustainer of all things. He is in time and space and beyond time and space. He is forever to be praised. You know the paeans of praise that have been given in the Psalms and in many parts of Scripture and in your voices as you sing praise to God. We are praising the Lord God Almighty. He is the one who we read about in the doxology at the end of chapter 11 of Romans. From him, through him, and to him are all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, we read, "For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things have come and for whom we exist." That's how great he is. The second part of that verse continues, "And for us there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things have come and through whom we live." And so that is our act of worship to the Lord God Almighty, three persons in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so you and I are called to an almighty calling. But I want to tell you something I've learnt over the years. I preach in churches each Sunday in different parts of the city, in Chinese and Tamil churches, Korean churches, Indonesian churches, and Australian churches. I go to some of those as well. And I go there and I do a series, usually a series of 7 to 10 over a period of weeks or months, and I go through a Bible book. And I want to challenge you with this because it hit me. It changed my mind on a matter. I've been raised in a Christian family with church every Sunday of my life, basically, and a lot of conferences, missions conferences and Bible teaching conferences. So I've had that as a background. And I had my own idea about 1 John. And that's why that's the first passage that we had read this morning. I used to think, and you may think, that 1 John is the story of love. Now, I thought it was all about love, 1 John, because there's a lot about love in it. Until I read it so many times and I preached on it in, I think, 7 or 8 different churches over a period of weeks each in the last 3 or 4 years. And I have come to the conclusion of this. 1 John is about faith. It's actually not first about love. It's about faith expressing itself through love. The key verse for me of that letter is the one that was read second, which is 1 John 3:23. This is God's command, to believe, to have faith in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us to do. That's the key. But the thing that has really struck me is chapter 1 of 1 John and verse 3. And that was read as well. The first two verses of the letter teach us about the incarnate God. Jesus came, we touched him, we saw him, we live with him. That's God revealed to us. Emmanuel, God with us. That is the one of whom we read in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word who is God, we read that in verse 1 and 2 of that chapter. The Word became human flesh, and he lived for a while among us. And in him we saw the glory of God, full of grace and truth. We have in verse 3 of 1 John, chapter 1, an amazing statement. It says, we proclaim this about Jesus to you so that you will have fellowship with us. And that's the fellowship of believers in Jesus. We are one. As Christ prayed in his prayer, as recorded in John 17, I pray, Father, that they, my disciples, will be one as we are one, I in you, you in me. And so we have this sense of fellowship with each other. I grew up believing that the group of Christians to which I belonged in northern New South Wales, near the Channon, that's for you to remember that name, I grew up believing that we were the true church, that we were better than others, that others were less informed than us. C.H. Spurgeon, the famous preacher in England, he wrote an article in a magazine called The Sword and the Trowel in October of 1886, and he wrote the title Unity and How Not to Promote It. And in that document, he spoke about three groups in Christendom's history which have believed that the way to truth, the way to unity, was for everybody to join them. The first group he wrote about were the Catholics. The second he called the Ritualist Anglicans. And the third he called the Plymouth Brothers. And I grew up with that third group of persons. And as he said, Individually, they are amongst the best of men. There are those at whose feet I would willingly sit. But in their collective capacity, as arrogating themselves to be the Church of Jesus Christ, they are a transparent imposition. I grew up with that mindset. Not that I was a transparent imposition, that's what I should have understood, but that we had the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and everybody else was lost. So that's the background that I bring to this verse, chapter 1 and verse 3 of 1 John. My background needed the baggage to be taken off, the same as that which held the pilgrim back in Pilgrim's Progress, which some of you might recall from earlier years. It was a sack on my back, and I had to let it go. There are sacks on all of our backs that we have to let go. I don't know what your baggage is that you hold, but each one of us, I believe, has baggage because of our humanness and the way we have been taught and had a sense of truth, believed by those who did so, inculcated into our lives. So I want to encourage you to examine yourself and to consider what baggage that you have that is not from God, is not from the Bible. And you might say, I've always been taught the truth from the Bible. I believe that about myself. But I have learnt that some of the things that I was taught was very much manufactured by the preacher, by the teacher. And I have had to go back myself to this book to see what God says. On the matter under discussion at the moment, I've been touched by a little verse, chapter 15 and verse 7 of the book of Romans, and it says this, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So I have found that I am in fellowship with anyone else who believes in Jesus. For us as Christians, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who believe. That's in Ephesians. So I want to encourage you that you have brothers and sisters in the common Christian faith in places like Bolivia, and I've had the privilege of being in Cochabamba before the spies were there. I was an earlier Australian spy that went over there. And so I have met brothers and sisters in all sorts of different circles of denominational background, but they all have one thing in common. They have a common Christian faith. So I want to encourage you to realize that in God's way of teaching us, we are in fellowship with those who are fellow believers. There are differences amongst us. There are probably even differences amongst you within this local church congregation in the way you view certain things. But the one thing you have is you are in fellowship with each other. In Galatians chapter 5, the second part of verse 6, we read that all that counts with God, that's an important statement to understand as a preamble to the next part, all that counts with God is faith, expressing itself through love. All that counts with God is faith, expressing itself through love. But the key verse, and this is why I wanted to challenge you and me today, the key part of chapter 1 and verse 3 of 1 John continues, and it says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship. Do you realize what I've just said to you? Our fellowship as Christian believers, it's with each other, that is true. But then we hold this almighty thought which my mind can't properly grasp. Our fellowship is with the Father, with Lord God Almighty. That throws me. I cannot grasp it anywhere near as fully as I might. Our fellowship as Christian believers is with Almighty God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So that is whom we are called to be. You and I are called to be in fellowship with the Almighty and with the Saviour, the King of the world, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. It is an amazing privilege. We have the life of God within our human soul. You and I are so blessed. We have eternal life. Why do we have eternal life? You might say by faith. That is true. But the particular reason we have eternal life is because we have the life of God within us through faith. And that life we have within us is eternal. It is God's life in us. That's why when we hear often quoted at funeral services, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you, my God, are with me. It is the life of God within us. And so I want to challenge and encourage you. I want to challenge you to reach out to share with others, because the people around you were created in the image of Almighty God, the same as you and I were. Christ died for them just as much as he died for you and me. So I want to encourage you to be those who share the gospel, who are evangelists, who go out and tell the good news by life and words. Now, I want to come to a conclusion, because I did tell some stories in the interview time. I want to come to a conclusion with a conceptual thought. God is the one of all glory. His Son, as I quoted from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, when he was here on earth, he showed us the glory of God, and that glory was full of grace and truth. God's glory, Jesus showing us God's glory, and we are called in our lives, you as members of the congregation of Castle Hill Baptist Church, you are called as the prime point of your exercise of worship and of obedience to God, one thing, a singular thing only. And that is, you are called to bring glory to God. I'll use some illustrations to explain that briefly. Those who have been singing here, those who have been presenting, are using their gifts to show the grace of God to you and to us as a congregation this morning. Those who serve in different characteristic ways within the church with regard to helping and putting out books, arranging things, they're all doing an act of worship. They're all giving worship to God. They're hoping, they're planning, they are promising to give glory to God. Now, I want to tell you what I think bringing glory to God is for you and me in our everyday, ordinary lives. I have not quoted yet the second verse of the part of verses in 1 Peter 4. I quoted verse 10, but verse 11 says this: if anyone speaks, that person should do so as if saying the very words of God. If anyone serves, that person should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God will be praised. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So I want to tell you that to bring glory to God means the way you cook a meal, the way you go and do your grocery shopping, the way you interact with your neighbours and with your family and with your friends and your work fellows, your fellow students, your colleagues. Every part of your life is to seek to bring glory to God. That is because your life is called to be an act of worship. As we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that our spiritual act of worship is to let God use us as he chooses, to lay ourselves on God's altar. So I want to encourage you and challenge you as my brothers and sisters in the faith. I want to encourage you that your calling as a Christian believer is to be thankful, to be obedient, and in doing so to bring glory to God. That's why we do mission. That's why we serve. Not for our own ends. Not even to do good towards others as the first point. But rather our first point is to bring glory to God as an act of spiritual worship as a Christian believer ourselves. So I want to encourage you, send people out, pray with people who go out, resource people who go out, encourage people who go out, but also at the same time do it here in Castle Hill and surrounding areas. Your call is to be a missioner and an evangel. Your call is to be a teller and an exhibitor, an expression of the good news. That's who we are. That's why God called us. And God who called us will give us the grace, the wisdom and the strength to accomplish what he has purposed for our lives. I trust that God will bless you. I have said already that these books are available for you outside. If you'd like to take one of them, feel free to do that. If more are required, I'll send them through Ian to you. But I want to pray God's blessing on you. I just want to say a brief prayer now and ask God to challenge you and me from his word, which is what I've tried to give to you today, in a way that will bring honour to him, bless others, and we ourselves will be blessed. Let's pray. Father God, it is with thankfulness that we're in your presence, acknowledging that your Spirit lives within us who are believers in your Son Jesus. We thank you for the mighty gift of grace that has been given to us. We thank you for the tremendous privilege that we have of being in fellowship with each other, but even more significantly in fellowship with you as Almighty God and your Son, our Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. So I pray that this church will be a church which reaches out, not to be kind, first of all, but rather to obey you, to go and show your grace to others. So I pray this and thank you for each member here in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
We've had a lot in the service this morning, so we're going to just close with a benediction if you'll join with me. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the peace and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our one God, Father, Son and Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen.